Good morning. I encourage you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, will be in verses 13 and 14 today. 3 years ago yesterday, we began to go through the Sermon on the Mount. So you sat through 26 messages at an average of about 35 minutes a message or more. That comes to about 910 minutes, which comes about 15 hours of preaching time. And through this, Jesus has taught us much in the last 3 years. But why? Why? Jesus has taught us so we can know, that we can have knowledge of, so we can know who we are in Christ, what our characteristics are from the inside, what are we becoming, what are our characteristics. He teaches us so we know that. He also teaches us that we would know our function and purposes in this world as believers. He also teaches us how we are to act, not as an actor puts on a show, rather as a freed from the bondage of sin, Holy Spirit-empowered child of the living God with a new heart, how we are to act. Why does Jesus teach us these things? To know them. To know them. But why does Jesus want us to know them? So we can live them. So we can live these things. Jesus teaches us all these truths about who we are in Christ, what our characteristics are, what our purpose and functions are, how we are to act. He teaches us these things so we can live them. So as we live in this present world, in this present age, we can live and experience the Sermon on the Mount. We've learned these truths, and we must now do something about them. We must pursue after what we've heard. Today we'll begin the four final teachings of Jesus in this sermon, and all four are warnings. Warnings for us to apply these things, these truths to our lives. So we just came off of the reality of Jesus giving us the golden rule. What did he give us the golden rule for? To do it, to live it, to do it. And then he continues on in verse 13 of Matthew 7. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Well, let's pray together. Father, we just sang a song confessing the reality of our need for you. And that reality is, in so many ways, we are a needy people. So we come into your word now, Father. We declare that again, and we ask you because we need you. We need your spirit, Father, to empower us to see truth. Not only see it, not only learn it, not only know it, but to live it too, Father. So I pray through your word and the power of your Holy Spirit, we will learn what Jesus is saying here, and we will act on it, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. We will dig into this a bit, but I don't want to lose the simplicity of what Jesus is saying. The point Jesus is making is clear. He is saying, remember what I've taught you now. Remember what I've taught you, and now be this person. live this holy life, and do these good works. And it will be hard, but it is the only way to life, and only a few will find it. Notice the first words in verse 13 are an imperative. Do this. Enter this narrow gate. Enter the narrow gate. We have heard Jesus for 15 hours. Now apply it. Now do it. And the warning is, if you do not enter by the narrow gate, then you are on the way with the many to destruction. Jesus is in essence saying what God told Jeremiah to say in chapter 21, verse 8 of the book of Jeremiah. It says this, "And to this people you shall say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." The Sermon on the Mount is the way of life, and everything else is death. I love the reality of absolute truth. I adore it. Black or white, light or dark, truth or lie, in Christ or in sin, alive or dead, heaven or hell. Jesus has laid before us two gates. Narrow or wide, two ways. Hard and easy, two groups of people, few or many, and two destinations, life or destruction. Jesus says, enter the narrow gate. It is hard. Few go this way, but it leads to life. It leads to life. So let's look at the two gates and the two ways and the two groups and the two destinations. So we'll start with the gates. One is narrow and one is wide. Jesus commands, enter the narrow gate. So there is discussion on whether the gate is first, you enter the gate and then you go along the way, or whether you go along the way and then you come to the gate. You either enter the gate and that puts you on the path, or you walk the path and then enter through the gate. And then if that's not enough, some say the gate is the beginning and the end. That we enter through Christ, we walk the path, and then we enter the gate at the end. Some say that the gate and the way are the same thing. Just two different ways, examples that Jesus uses for the same purpose. Here's what Jesus says. In John 14:6, he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In order to enter through the narrow gate, in order to be on the path of life, which is hard, whether the gate is at the beginning or the gate is at the end or the gate is in both places, here is the truth that is black and white. To enter the narrow gate and be on the path of life, you must be in Christ. Period. There is no other way given to mankind. The gate is narrow, and it is Christ. As we look at the wide gate for a moment, let's bring in the two groups. The two groups. Jesus mentions two groups of people here. There are the many and the few. The few enter the narrow gate. Actually, few find the narrow gate, if you look at the end of verse 14. While few find the narrow gate and the way to life, many enter the wide gate, which leads to destruction. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, page 976. Ephesians, chapter 2. Who are these? Who are the many that enter the wide gate? They are the ones that did not enter the narrow gate, right? They are the ones who are not in Christ. And if you are here today and have been saved by the grace of God and have found the narrow gate and are living the hard way of life, then you and me used to be part of the many. And never forget, but for the grace of God, we still would be. So who are the many? We used to be the many. Look at how Paul describes the many who enter the wide gate. Ephesians 2:1. And you, brothers and sisters in Christ, were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. We walked with the many, dead in our trespasses and sin. And Paul continues describing the many, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We walked the wide and easy path, destined for the wrath of God, destined for destruction. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, on the wide gate, on the wide path, on the easy path, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. We are now on the narrow path in Christ. Our wide, easy way has been narrowed and has become hard because we now have a purpose. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the narrow life. This brings in the two ways Jesus mentions. One is hard and one is easy. The many follow the easy way, but we have work to do, and it is hard. Turn a little further in Ephesians to chapter 4, verse 17. Why is the way hard? Why is the way to life hard? Why is following Jesus hard? Well, first of all, because our very beings are in transformation. And as we're being transformed from the inside out into the image of Christ, the world pulls on us. Our flesh screams out to us to sin. And as we follow Jesus, people despise us and will persecute us. If you are on the hard path of life and you are following Jesus, this will happen to you. The transformation is real, and the life we are called to live is hard. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, we'll start. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, the wide, easy way, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The transformation is hard and the life is hard, as the Sermon on the Mount now here surfaces in Ephesians, verse 25. Therefore, having put away all falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such that is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ, as God in Christ forgave you. Remember the whole point of what Jesus is saying. I've taught you all of these things. Now be this person. Live this holy life. Do these good works, and it will be hard, but it is the only way to life, and few find it. The calling we have to be holy as God is holy is a hard calling. The hard way is the way of Jesus. It's the way of Jesus. It's following Jesus. It's denying ourselves and taking up our crosses and suffering and following Jesus. Being selfish is easy, right? Sin is easy. And many enter the wide gate. Denying self and battling sin is hard, and few find the narrow gate. Let's talk about the two destinations that Jesus reveals to us. Life or destruction? There is no other option. Life or destruction? Find the narrow gate, and the hard way leads to life. Enter the wide gate, and the easy way leads to destruction. This truth, this reality of heaven or hell for eternity, should grip our hearts and affect the way that we live. Jesus doesn't give us numbers on the two groups. He simply says, many are destroyed. Many are destroyed. And few find life. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. You'll find this very close to the end of your Bible. Revelation, chapter 20. This world is full of lies. Full of lies. And all of them are evil, but some of them are very, very dangerous and very, very harmful. Lies like there is no God. People say there is no God. They teach our kids there is no God. Or how about humans evolved? Humans evolved from slime. Nothing controlled it. There was nothing. There is no God. Humans evolved. How about the one, unborn babies in a mother's womb have no worth? How destructive is that lie? Then there is the one, and even said at times within churches and so-called Christians, they say there is no hell. They say that an all-loving God would never judge people like that and send them to hell. Brothers and sisters, there are two destinations: life or destruction. Revelation 20, starting in verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment." Verse 7. "And the one who conquers will have this heritage. And I will be his God, and he will be my son." Jesus says, "Enter into the narrow gate, and the way is hard that leads to life. Few will find it." God says to the one who conquers, to the one who perseveres, to the one who battles through, to the one that works their way through the hard life, to the one who conquers, "I will be his God, and he will be my son." And then there is the wide gate, where the way is easy that leads to destruction. Verse 8. "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." You've heard it said that all religions are like a tire with spokes, and all the spokes lead to the same place. That is a lie, straight from the pit of hell. There is only one way, and there is only one truth that leads to life. That is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God for the forgiveness of sins. And few find it. All the rest, the wide gate with the easy way, all the rest lead to the same place, the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, and those who enter it are many. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Any other way, and absolutely every other way, is a lie and leads to destruction. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is commanding you. He is saying, "You've heard my teaching. Now be this person. Live this holy life and do this good work, and it will be hard, but it is the only way to life. So press on and enter the narrow gate." And he promises to be with you through it. And he promises this way to be filled with grace. So we must respond. We must do something about it. We must pursue after what we've learned. Jesus says, "Enter the narrow gate." We must give effort in the way that is hard. We must give effort towards this. We must commit to this way, right? Commit to it. It must be our priority. It must be our priority, and following Jesus, brothers and sisters, must be our focus and our life. If we are not finding the way hard, then we might just be on the wide path. This gate, this way, starts at the cross of Christ. Has to. We must repent of our sin to God. And we must trust in what Christ did on the cross for us. God's wrath was placed on him. Destruction was placed on him in our places. We must believe that. And then we start changing from the inside out. And the way gets hard, and we battle, and we fight, and we persevere. How do we get victory in the midst of battling? Well, the same way leaders tell their soldiers. When a battle begins, they tell them to remember what? Remember your training. Remember your training. We must remember our training. When it gets hard, we must remember and remind ourselves of the gospel. We must remember who we were without Christ. And then we must remember and believe who we are now in Christ, children of the living God. We must remember and believe and live out what we are here for. Remind yourself why you are here. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches us we're what? Salt and light. We are ambassadors of Christ in a foreign, hostile land, calling people to believe in Christ, to see Christ. Live it out. When it gets hard, remember these things. Remember your training. Tell yourself the gospel. And we must constantly, constantly remind ourselves and think about where we will be and who we will be with in the end. We must always have that at the forefront of our mind. It is our hope. And then last but not least, this is hard. But enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. You are a child of the King of the universe, and you are walking in the grace and love and mercy of God. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the battles. Start having victory and enjoy them. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Brothers and sisters, he's called us to a hard life, but he's God and he's with us. Enjoy the journey with him. He empowers you. He loves you. He pours his grace out to you. And he's given us each other. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he's come to this earth. He knows what we're going through. He can sympathize with us. He gives us instruction. He tells us who we are, what we're to do. And then he warns us. He warns us. He says, "You've heard this.